All right, we're back at Build, and tweet questions to #CH9Live. I'm pointing at the right camera now. Very special guest, Mike Neal.
Welcome.
How you doing? So you're a GM on the Windows Server 8 team?
Yes, that's correct.
Excellent. And we wanted to talk about Windows Server 8. So what's going on? What are some of the big things?
So obviously here at Build, we had the opportunity to announce Windows Server 8, which is the cousin to Windows 8. And it is a really big and broad and deep release for us. There's hundreds and hundreds of new features that are in the product. We've spent today doing a number of keynote demonstrations of those. Some of the big areas that we invested in, we really wanted to go beyond virtualization, so we've invested heavily in Hyper-V. There's nothing to be ashamed about Hyper-V. It's really a great platform. From a scalability perspective, we can run on very large systems. We can run 32 proc VMs, 512 gigabyte virtual machines. At the physical layer for Windows Server, we've invested in scaling that up as well. 640 processors, 4 terabytes of memory. These are enormous systems that our partners are building to use this. So, there's really no workload that we can't run in these environments. But a big area that we've focused on is how to use the learnings that we've had from the cloud to deliver great new capabilities. And so, Windows Server is used to run Windows Azure, to run Bing, to run Messenger, all that kind of stuff. And so we've been running these large-scale properties, and we've taken those learnings that we've had from doing that and incorporated that into Windows Server and making that available to the broader set of customers as well.
Excellent.
So there's great capabilities in management. There's a whole bunch of neat stuff in RDP. There's an entirely new file server that has great scale-out and high availability capabilities, increased clustering capabilities, a new networking stack that allows virtualization and networking. So there's just an enormous amount of really great new functionality that's part of the release.
Awesome. So, well, of course, this is Channel 9 Live, and this is where we let the customers ask questions. Dirush, is VHD on SMB well-supported and reliable? When would I want to use iSCSI instead?
Yeah, great question. So in this release in Windows Server 8, we've invested in our SMB protocol. We have a new SMB 2.2 protocol that's part of the release. And the capabilities that it has is the ability to use multiple NICs. So if I've got multiple connections, I can load balance that across those multiple NICs, and I can use that aggregate bandwidth between my machine and my file server. And if any one link should fail, I can fail over. And as well, the server end can also be clustered, and if any given node within the file server fails, the physical machine running the file server fails, we can fail that over transparently as well. And so we're really going to evangelize with our customers to use SMB as the protocol to run VHDs. And so you'd be able to run a VM from an SMB server, and we'll be able to take advantage of all the great capabilities we have there, RDMA support to get really, really fast performance. We actually demoed in Satya's keynote this morning doing a 2.5 gigabytes per second across a SMB link, which is just amazing. It's as fast and as performant as local direct attached storage. And with RDMA, the actual CPU usage was like 1% or 2%.
Wow.
So it's really outstanding. But SMB is going to be the preferred solution for Hyper-V.
Excellent. Well, that's a great answer. He also asked, will SCVMM 2012, what is that?
Yeah, so SCVMM 2012 is our sister product in System Center.
Okay.
And so System Center is the suite of management tools that we have layered on top of Windows Server. And yes, System Center will continue to evolve to take advantage of all the great new capabilities in Windows Server. And we've been working, obviously, very closely with them to make sure that they are taking advantage of those in the management tools. We'll see great new capabilities coming from them as well. Mm-hmm. They're not quite ready to announce their roadmap on their products. They'll do that at their own time. But they are definitely doing great work for Windows Server 8.
Awesome. Can you talk about the new dedupe functionality?
Yeah. So as part of the investments that we've made in storage, we've done a number of different things. One is we built in a new storage spaces technology, which is this ability to take lots of disks, direct attached storage, whatever it happens to be, SSD, spinning media, and be able to make those into pools and then allocate out of those pools. And I can make those pools highly available. They can have RAID characteristics, and then I can dynamically provision as I need resources for my storage. Mm. And so that thin provisioning is a big space saver for customers because they don't have to over-provision their environment just to reserve storage in those environments. The dedupe functionality layers on top of that,
okay,
and provides the capability to take similar data or same data within that environment. So say you have two VHDs that have Windows installed in it, mm-hmm, and you've configured them differently with different roles and different settings. Those changes are the only differences that are stored. If all the bits are the same between them, then they're completely shared. And so we showed off in the keynote demonstration that Bill and I did, we had a multi-terabyte environment with lots and lots of VHDs of all different flavors of Windows on there. And because of the dedupe technology, it only took gigabytes to store that. And so huge savings for customers, lowers their overall cost in running their storage solutions, great for things like VDI and other capabilities like that.
Excellent. Now, there's a question that's been asked of three different people today before you, and I had mentioned in those interviews that we would ask Mike Neal when he came on.
Okay.
And the question really is, what's the relationship between, you know, evolutionary changes in Azure, and how does that map back to Windows Server?
Yep.
And vice versa?
Oh, great question. So, you know, the way I look at it is Azure is the vehicle by which we deliver Windows Server as a service, right? The thing that people run within that environment is Windows Server. Mm-hmm. And they run Windows Server applications, they build on top of the APIs and capabilities that we have there, and that infrastructure is built around Windows Server as well. Now, we have an advantage there, which is that we can iterate much faster in that environment. In Windows Server, when I deliver a product, I have to deliver it to the whole ecosystem. So I got to get everybody from Dell and IBM and Fujitsu and NEC and all these guys to support that. In Azure, we have our own infrastructure that we deploy into. We purchase machines, we control that environment very closely. And so that allows us to have very rapid turnaround because we know how to deploy in that environment and we can monitor and maintain all of that. So Azure has given us a great experience to run Windows Server as a large-scale cloud infrastructure and take the learnings from that, learn from what we're doing there, take what we've accomplished, code changes, whatever it happens to be, and bring that technology and those learnings back to Windows Server and deploy that to that wider audience.
Awesome.
And so that's been a really great opportunity for us. Being able to run a public cloud and doing that and actually operating these things at scale, mm-hmm, it's the only way you learn. There are a lot of companies out there that, you know, have cloud solutions and things like that. Mm-hmm. We run, you know, a property like Messenger, 9.9 billion messages a day, right?
Wow.
You know, that's, you know, Windows Update delivers a terabyte of updates a month, you know, that kind of thing. And that's all driven by Windows Server, and that learning is what's coming into Windows Server 8 that's just making a fantastic release.
Excellent. So the auto Azure, so thank you. I'm not going to ask that question because that's really a question that Mark Rusinovich answered about auto scaling. That's not a capability that's been implemented yet. It's something they're thinking about. So Randy Spangler, will we be able to monitor multiple servers from a single offsite point for MSPs with Windows Server 8?
Yeah, so this is an interesting question, is how do we do the multi-machine management in Windows Server 8 and what capabilities do we have there? So one of the new platform features that we have is what we call the M3P, the multi-machine management platform.
Okay.
And this is built into our manageability stack, including PowerShell and the capabilities that we have there. Mm. And it includes now the ability to run workflows. And workflows are basically a way for you to describe logic that you want to have occur as you're going through and processing a set of commands. And the nice thing about workflows is that as we run those, they're very durable. So I can run them remotely and I can manage machines that are across the globe, wherever they happen to be. And if I lose a network connection, the workflow is persistent. It will continue to try to connect and continue to try to reach that as well.
Okay.
And so that allows the administrator to build these sort of complex workflows, but do it in a very simple way and be able to manage multiple machines with that sort of simplicity of one. The nice thing is that then those workflows can do things like, you know, install a role or do an update or check on a service health or status. And again, those things are very persistent. So if a failure occurs, or for instance, you just need to reboot the machine as part of the servicing that you're doing, all of that can persist and continue to operate.
Nice.
Through that. So we built on top of that our new Server Manager user experience that's part of Windows Server. So there's a ton of capabilities at the command line through PowerShell and all the great capabilities we have there. But then we've also serviced that for a lot more users through the GUI, so they can just select a list of machines and operate on a list of machines and have that happen in a very automatic fashion.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Now, you said the G word, and I'm going to come back to that question because I want to give priority to the most important people. Sprite XPS, has Windows Azure Well, that was the first question I asked.
Yeah.
But you know what? You got a good answer. Al, can you talk a little about private clouds on Server 8? How far apart are Azure and WinServer in that aspect?
Right. So, again, we took a lot of that learning that we had from Windows Azure and brought that to Windows Server. Now, when we go out and look at the vast majority of our customers, they don't run a cloud the size of Azure or the cloud the size of Bing with, you know, hundreds of thousands of servers,
sure.
Right?
Yeah.
That's a sort of atypical that you'd find out there. And so what we did is we took a lot of those learnings and said, how do we distill those and make those available for the customer that's running a few servers or a dozen servers or 100 servers or 1,000 servers?
Yeah.
And so that's where we really focused, is to make sure that we could scale across these infrastructures that our customers have and be able to run their private cloud environments. One of the really neat pieces of technology that's coming as part of this release is a new technology we call Hyper-V Virtual Networks. And just as what we've done with virtual machines, by encapsulating the operating system and being able to run that as a virtual machine and having that mobility be able to live migrate it around, we've done the same thing for the network. And so I can actually take a virtual machine that has the static IP address in it,
okay.
You know, 10.0.0.1 or whatever it happens to be, and I can move that virtual machine up into the cloud or move that across subnets within my private data center and keep that same IP address. It's really magic. It's very cool technology. We're actually taking that reference specification to the standards bodies to get the industry behind it. But there's some great capabilities that just allow the customer to be able to use these private cloud environments, scale out lots of machines, multiple management, all the file server capabilities that we talked about to really reduce the cost of storage those environments. So awesome, you know, learnings and awesome capabilities for our private cloud solution.
Interesting. So virtualized network.
Yeah.
Very,
it's a new thing. Hop on board.
All right, man. That's the new. What would that be? That would be VN?
Yeah, VN. Hyper-V VN.
Hyper-V VN, man. So we have another question. Why is hot patching not used with Windows Update? Why do I still need to reboot?
Right. So this is a great question. You know, obviously, we do everything we can to be able to minimize the amount of rebooting our customers need to do,
sure.
Right? And hot patching has some trade-offs. There's, you know, the capability is there, and we do use it from time to time. But the for the most part, it has some limitations, and it's also something that you still need to patch to make a persistent change after the fact.
Mm.
Now, we're doing a lot of work to make sure that we reduce the number of patches. So we want to make sure that, and you'll see with Windows Server 8, that I think will come to fruition, that we'll see a lower number of reboots necessary for customers over that lifespan of the server. Mm. The other thing that we've done is that we've done a lot of work in our roles and our functionality that's part of Windows Server to make them scale out. And this is a learning from the cloud. If you look at the way Azure works, any given node within the Azure fabric can fail, right? We can take that offline, the disk can fail, network can fail, whatever it happens to be. And the service just degrades, it doesn't fail in those situations. And we brought that same learning into Windows Server to make our capabilities to deliver continuous services part of the underlying platform. And so, like I mentioned before, like that file server role, just as an example, I can scale that out, and any given node within the file server can fail. All the clients remain connected, all their connections remain up, they can continue to do transactions, and we'll fail them over to another node. And so it just decreases the capacity of the environment without, you know, bringing it to a halt.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. Heaven's Revenge, does the Win8 server kernel, good, I'm glad we're asking kernel questions, network stack, have any new direct low-level communication protocols, APIs to look forward to?
Oh, that's a great question. So at the kernel level, there's a bunch of work that we've done. So I mentioned before we've done a huge amount of work on scalability. And so being able to scale up to these big systems, you know, our partners at Intel and AMD and others are building these great processors with lots and lots of cores. We want to be able to take advantage of that. Memory costs have come down dramatically. We want to be able to take advantage of that. So there's been a whole bunch of work at the kernel level to be able to support that. In the networking stack, one of the really important workloads that's out there is the trading applications. These are the applications that run as part of the infrastructure for large financial institutions. And it's amazing that the amount of time that it takes for a packet to transit across the network, be processed, and come back is critical in their ability to do business. Because that, if they trade before their competitor, they make the money, they do a better job. And so we really focused on what we call low latency network. And we've got a new direct path for networking that dramatically lowers the overall latency for that path and really makes us the number one solution out there. Nice. For being able to run these kind of applications. The interesting thing with those applications is that they also are very sensitive to jitter. So you don't want that time to change much, right? Sure. You want it to be very constant. And so we did a bunch of work at the kernel level to make the scheduler and the networking stack aware of each other so that we have very precise timing on that as well. You know, at the networking stack layer, we've got capabilities to support 10 gigabit networking, multiple 10 gigabit networks, you know, InfiniBand running at 32 gigabytes per second. So there's, you know, huge capabilities, huge scalability in the underlying infrastructure. And that hardware is coming out from our partners, just going to be part of the motherboard. So
awesome.
Yeah.
Now, I remember when we first interviewed you on Channel 9 back in when we first started Channel 9, Scoble and I showed up. We found that little cove where there was a whiteboard. The lighting wasn't great, but it's a great interview. Just do a search on virtualization on Channel 9. It was sort of like one of the first places where you started talking about enlightenments and an operating system. And so one of the questions I would have as we move into this cloud age, what does a cloud enlightenment mean, or a cloud enlightened OS?
Sure. Yeah, that's a good question. So just so everybody kind of understands what enlightenments are, since they may or may not want to go back and watch the whole thing, it's really the... When we think about it, you can take an operating system and you can run it inside a virtual machine, and we can do that without changing the OS, right? And that's a great capability of virtual machines, is that I can take that old legacy operating system or even a new operating system, put it in a virtual machine and isolate it and have all the mobility and all the great manageability capabilities. But if I take the time to teach the operating system about the fact that it's running inside of a virtual machine and be able to take advantage of that functionality, then I can get great new capabilities. Cool. And so we refer to those as enlightenments. And so those are the changes that we make to the underlying code in the OS that take advantage of the fact that we're running inside of a virtual machine. Mm. A couple of really cool ones that are part of Windows Server 8, we really enhanced our dynamic memory capability. And so the memory manager is now enlightened and it can share memory amongst virtual machines. The hypervisor can shift resources, memory resources, back and forth between virtual machines, and they can all happen dynamically. We let the administrator have control over what the parameters are so they can set minimums and maximums for a given virtual machine.
Nice.
And we've done a really good job of making that visible inside the virtual machine so that applications can take advantage of it and they know, you know, when SQL's running, it can know that there's a certain amount of memory available to it and it can request more if it needs more for the system. Another area that we focused on was we've always done enlightenments around the storage stack and the networking stack. We added a new enlightened fiber channel. We have a new virtual fiber channel capability inside the virtual machine. And so you can directly attach to fiber channel. You can run your fiber channel management applications, your HBA and storage SAN management applications right from inside a virtual machine.
Amazing.
So, yeah, clustering. All those kind
of
good things.
Excellent, man. So, yep. This is a huge release.
Yeah, this is a huge release. There is a lot here. You know, I encourage people to kind of keep an eye out. There's more and more information coming out. We did a great reviewers workshop with a lot of the press. 2 days. They said that they were just drinking from a fire hose.
Nice.
And so hopefully everybody will really enjoy all the great capabilities.
Beautiful. Yeah, you guys have done some great work. Landy Wang, was he working on the memory manager?
Landy still works on the memory
manager.
Yeah, yeah.
Landy Wang, man. Amazing engineer.
Absolutely.
Al asks, do you think we'll be publishing apps to private clouds and Win8 server in a similar fashion as we publish apps to Azure?
So, good question. When you look at our management technologies, we have a management solution that was codenamed Concero. And it is basically designed to do exactly that, to give you the same experience for publishing applications both to Azure and then manage and maintain and monitor those, and also deploy those into the Windows Server environments. And so we see that path continuing. We want to make the platform as similar as possible. You know, there's obvious differences. When I run in Azure, I got greater scale and capability because I've got all the equipment that Azure has behind it.
Sure.
I can do it across multiple geographies because of all the data centers that we have. Mm. In Windows Server, we want to replicate that type of functionality for a customer, but do it within the constraints that they have for their environment. So,
okay.
Yep.
Excellent. So Mike has a hard stop at 2, so please remember to ask questions. This is what we call not a pound sign, it's called a hashtag, because we are in the Twitter land. So #CH9Live. Ask questions of Michael. I mean, this is the guy. Going back to what I was going to ask in terms of the GUI, I'm more interested in some sense GUI-less. Remember, yeah. Server Core?
Yep.
So what's going on with Server Core? How has that evolved in this release?
So quite a lot. So Server Core is really our preferred way of deploying Windows Server. You know, okay. If you think about it, when we run these systems in Azure and Bing and all these kind of stuff, they're in data centers that are all over the globe, right? Mm. Nobody walks out and plugs a display cable in and sits down and looks at that machine,
sure.
Right? And so we have to do everything remotely. And so that was an area that we focused on as part of Windows Server 8, is to make sure that the manageability of the product can be done remotely. And that's not just TSing into the box and running the commands locally, but doing all the PowerShell, all those capabilities, the server GUI, all of that can be run remotely. And so I can sit on a client machine, run the server GUI, and be able to manage that server and be able to do that on multiple machines and do that all remotely. And by reducing the footprint of the server by using Server Core, you got less things that need to be patched, less things that need to be updated and maintained, less footprint, so you got more resources available, memory, CPU, and all that kind of stuff available for the workloads that really matter.
So, excellent. Yep. So speaking of the workloads that really matter, in terms of like modularity, when I think of, is there a way for me to say, okay, I have this Server Core, I'm going to remove this component because I'm not going to be a web server, I'm just going to be a file server or a streaming server.
Yep.
How does that work?
Yeah, so a bunch of really neat capabilities that are part of the releases. So one of the things that we can do is you can take Server Core, and if you need to, let's say you've got an application that requires a GUI to install it, but once it's installed, you can just run it. Mm-hmm. You can add the GUI in, run that installation, do what you need to do, and then pull the GUI back out.
Nice.
Right, so I can add, you know, Explorer and the Server GUI and, you know, IE if that's required, whatever I need to do there, and then I can pull those things back out. And so then I can revert back to Server Core, and I don't have to reinstall anything. So in the past, when you made that choice, you had to reinstall the OS depending on what you want to do. With Server 8, you don't have to do that.
Awesome.
Another really cool thing is that we have the ability to do installations of roles into VHDs when they're offline. So I can take a VHD that's just on my hard disk, mm-hmm. and instead of having to boot it up in a VM and then go in and configure a role in it, I can just point Server Manager at it and say, I want to install this role inside of that in that VHD, and I can do that all offline.
Nice.
And another really fun one is that we can pull optional features from a file server. And so you can have a single image that you use that's very stripped down that you deploy into your environment. But if you want to then go and pull an optional component or a role to install in that environment, you can go and pull that from a file server or from the network.
Excellent.
Which is really cool too.
Very, very cool. So now you also mentioned sort of what our hardware partners are doing, and even not our partners, but the hardware people.
Yep.
With sort of things like APUs, where mm-hmm. you have a CPU and a GPU on the same die,
yep.
and then the memory that they both share
yep.
Is very close to it. When in your world, like, what does the idea of a 1,000-core machine kind of do to your mind?
Right.
And do to, like, talk to me a little bit about that.
Yeah. So there's a couple really interesting scenarios here. One is that we get used, Windows Server gets used as the core of a lot of the HPC work that we do, the high performance computing work that we do.
Yeah.
And so GPUs and the massive parallelization that those have a real impact for that workload. Mm-hmm. And so I can take an algorithm that, you know, does protein folding or whatever it happens to do, mm-hmm. accelerate that using the tools that we have for Visual Studio mm-hmm. to be able to run that in the GPU and then be able to produce, you know, massive quantities of data and be able to you know, run that workload much faster. Mm-hmm. On the other end of that spectrum, that's a big scale-out workload. You run that on lots of machines, and you got lots of GPUs to go and do that. On the other end of that spectrum, you've got these big machines, these really large systems that you want to be able to run an algorithm on that can't be massively parallelized.
Uh-huh.
And there's a lot of these situations, you know, large databases that you want to do data warehousing in, mm-hmm. Algorithms that, you know, can scale up but need shared memory to be able to take advantage of that. And so, you know, we're seeing our partners building these systems with hundreds of cores and terabytes of memory, and being able to take that and be able to scale their workloads up and be able to run on that, you know, whether it be a SQL database or whether it be their own custom code that they can run in those environments. Mm. And then one other really interesting one is that people are starting to consume the desktop environment in a very different way. Sure. They're running the client in these VDI scenarios. And so, you know, you saw this great, you know, Metro style applications and all the really exciting stuff that's coming in the client from the GUI perspective. We want to make sure that you can run that in a VM and be able to remotely access it. And so we showed off here the ability to remote the full interface that you get for Windows Server, or sorry, for Windows, with, you know, Metro applications and 3D. We did 3D graphics and sound and all the USB remoting, touch, so you can use the touch interface over the remote connection as well. All of that, and then we can accelerate that by using GPUs in the server, and so we can make that, you know, very fluid, very great experience for the customer as well.
Interesting, but of course with remote, essentially like remote desktop, is what that is, right? That's the technology.
That's correct.
Yours is a physics problem, right? It's the internet connection. You can, I mean, it's gonna. So talk to me about how you optimize for that, and also, are you saying that you added hardware acceleration to virtual machines?
Yeah. So, okay. You got two questions there. So, there's a good one. There's on the remote desktop side, absolutely, we're using the GPUs to be able to do much higher rates of compression, and also to be able to ship compressed data. So, like, if you're playing a video in your environment, there's no reason for us to decompress that and recompress that. We'll just ship the compressed stream across the network as well. And so a bunch of work that we've done as part of Windows Server 8 is to really reduce the overall bandwidth necessary to run these rich environments, and also to be able to run those across WAN environments where you've got longer latencies and you've got dropped packets typically. And so really making that much more robust, remote branch offices, people working from home across the internet, all of those kind of scenarios. So what was the second part?
the second part was hardware acceleration.
And the hardware acceleration and in Hyper-V. So I mentioned before we now have the pass-through and capabilities of using fiber channel and the HBAs. So that's a really exciting one. We also have what we refer to as SRIOV. This is an industry standard. It's called single root I/O virtualization. It's a bit of a tongue twister, but the capabilities that we have there is we can take a NIC and be able to directly assign it, a function on that NIC, directly assign that to a virtual machine. And so the virtual machine gets to use that NIC without any interference. And so from a performance perspective, you get the same latencies and the same performance that you have on native hardware, which really enhances the capabilities that we have there. And then lastly, on the storage side, if you copy a VHD or move a VHD around within the environment, we have offload capabilities where if you've got that, say, in a large SAN and it has the ability to do offload, we can tell the SAN, go move this for us or duplicate it or zero out those data, and that allows us to move those virtual machines around much, much faster and do all of that with the optimized hardware.
Awesome, awesome. All right, we got time probably for one more question. Al, will you talk about the private cloud deployment, Concero, stuff on build?
Okay, so I don't believe there is a specific session on Concero. It's not really got a developer focus to it. It's obviously more of an end user IT pro product.
Yep.
But actually, that product is available now, and I'm trying to remember the name just off the top of my head. But it's the... I'm blanking on it.
No worries.
But if you go to the System Center website and you look for Concero, you're going to find information on it available on the Microsoft.com website.
Excellent, man. So, I mean, I guess in closing, Windows Server 2000. Windows Server 2008.
No.
Hey, what? Windows Server 2000.
So,
I mean, Windows Server 8, huge release. It sounds phenomenal.
Yeah.
Especially all the work you've done on virtualization. So,
good.
Thank you for coming on Channel 9.
That was
and we'll
pleasure.
Have you on C9 again.
Sounds
maybe
great.
Maybe on demand.
Sounds good.
Right on.
Thank you.
Take care.